A very good morning to you all. Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is Palm Sunday, the day Christians celebrate that Jesus went into Jerusalem for the last time before his death and crucifixion. On behalf of our parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time. I don't seem to see any. Or those who are doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom. God bless you all. There are a series of services that will take place here in our church hall in the coming week. And I mentioned Monday, Thursday, when we will have Holy Communion, and Good Friday, we will have an ecumenical service with other churches in the area, the Episcopal Church and the Roman Catholic Church, but also our brothers and sisters from Wormit and Balmorino will be joining us. So we are expecting a full house. And on Thursday next week, as it's always been the case, we have been having vigils praying for Ukraine, 7 p.m. every Thursday, but because of our service, we shall begin at 10 minutes to 7 o'clock. Please, we are all welcome to come and continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine as they struggle with the war. This morning, we have some special people who are joining us, and they will be talking to us about Try Praying, and that will be led by our own Alison. So, Alison, please.
Well, good morning, everybody. To talk about the Try Praying campaign, of which I think quite a number of you will be aware and hopefully have noticed our banner outside the church, which we've had off and on continuously since the pandemic, apart from the odd wind blast or two. The history of the Try Praying campaign is a small Scottish charity called There Is Hope that's been on the go for at least 10 years, I think. And their aim was to produce a very simple, accessible guide for those who don't do church, but who are open to prayer. And this has been on the go now for 10 years, and it's developed into quite a thing. It's become a church project, a multi-church project, a multi-region project throughout the UK and even further. And the main idea of it is, the mantra is, use it and lose it. And those of you that have listen to me before talk about this, know that I'm going to ask you to consider taking one of these brochures, use it yourself for a week, and then lose it, which means you just keep this and then maybe keep it in your bag or something like that, and you'll find hopefully an opportunity, maybe over the next month or two, you'll come across somebody that you feel could really benefit from it. So that's the theme. Okay, use it and lose it. The campaign has developed into, there's a lot of, and you'll see them on the buses, at the train stations this month, a big campaign where you see these Try Praying signs on church railings and the streets and everything like that, just like we're doing. And the idea is that people walking past will just think, oh, I might give that a go. So the best bit that comes out of it, these campaigns, are the stories of individuals who've been touched in some way. So we're just going to look at a couple of wee video shots just now.
So here's a little story about how prayer really changed my life. I grew up in a Christian family, my parents were Christians. I used to know about God in my head, I used to hear about God in church, but nothing really ever connected with my heart to make me believe. And so I kind of lived my life my own way, didn't really want anything to do with God's way. And when I was old enough, I completely sacked off church, and it just really wasn't relevant to me and just really wasn't something that I wanted to pursue. And so I kind of lived life my own way. That didn't get me very far. I used to go out with my mates getting wasted and getting drunk to try and fill this hole that I had in my heart, because I wasn't satisfied with life. I really hated life. And this one night I ended up in a police station from being a naughty boy. I was there all weekend. And that was the first time where I really tried praying. So I started praying and I was like, God, I don't just want you to help me. I need you to help me because I just hate life at the moment. I'm feeling depressed and feeling lonely. I've got this hole in my heart, like I don't feel satisfied with life. And right there and then I experienced the presence of God like I've never experienced before. It was absolutely incredible. completely changed my life because I really felt like I met with God right there. It wasn't until later on that I realised, after speaking to my mum, that my mum and my sister had been praying all that night for me as well. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. And right there and then I started my journey with God and started my journey as a Christian. And now I'm in 1224 at the Message Trust. We're going around high schools and using music to tell people about how amazing God is. And so prayer really changed my life, so why not try it yourself too?
Hi, I just thought I'd send you a wee email to thank you for your booklet. I came across it at a hard time in my life. I'd recently suffered an ectopic pregnancy and was absolutely devastated. I felt lost, felt like I had nowhere to turn, no hope. I was driving past a church near my home and felt drawn in. I saw your advertisement on their walls and thought to myself, why not? Well, I can tell you now that something changed for me in that moment. I asked God to help me, to make me stronger, and I prayed for my lost little one. And you know, I felt different after. Like a weight had been lifted, and suddenly I knew it was going to be okay. It was almost like a light being switched on. Since then, I feel like my eyes have been opened, and I feel like there are signs all around me that God exists and that He hears us. Whenever I have worries, I feel that I can pray about it, and then I feel better. It gives me faith that all will be okay. So that's me, and I've shared this with others, some of which probably think I'm mad, but I don't care. If I can show at least one person what I now know, then I'll be happy, and I'm sure that person will be too. Sincerely, Jenna.
So I'd just like you to hold on to that mantra, use it and lose it. But I also want to draw your attention to something else. This is a booklet called Catching the Wave, also produced by Try Praying. And it's a 40-day prayer guide. And I just want to ask you seriously to consider picking one of these up. We are a church. We are Christians. We are not in that first category who don't do church. We do church. But we need to do church. So I would encourage you to take this up. It's a 40-day guide. You've got it for free. What have you got to lose? Pick one up. Consider using yourself as an individual or even getting together with one or two others and seeing how you go with it and how it helps you. Now we've got the best bit coming up. I think I'm asking two of our congregation to come up and have a little chat with me here about prayer and what it means to them. So I'd ask Fiona and Graham. I did give some wee questions for Fiona and Graham to reflect on a wee while ago, so I'm just going to put the question to them. I don't know what they've been thinking about. My first question was, why do you value prayer?
I think there's a few things said about prayer. One is that it's the last refuge of the scoundrel, and sometimes I do feel like that's what it's like when I'm praying. But the thing with prayer that gets me is that I'm always aware of the presence of God when I start praying. And that's something that's really, really important to me. And I don't want to set myself up as some kind of model praying person, but I start my day with a prayer, and I couldn't miss the start of my day without it, because that's when I bring God into my life.
Great, thanks. And I'll just ask the same one of you, Fiona.
Why do I value prayer? I think, similarly to Graham, I think for me, it's a way of acknowledging God's presence. So I believe He's always present with me, but it's a way of accessing that, a way of accessing His goodness in my life, His kindness, His wisdom, all that He is.
My next question I asked to think about was, does it have any impact on your life?
I think when you think on the times that prayer has really made a difference, I'm certainly very much aware of that. I've had the opportunity sometimes to pray with and for other people, and sometimes we pray our prayers and we have to wait for something to happen. But very often when you pray with and for other people, you can see the prayer making a change right there and then in front of you. And likewise, I've had people pray for me, and I've felt and seen that change happen as well. Mm. So I'm very much aware of what that does in both in individual people's lives and in relationships as well.
I think it has. I think often I pray the most in times when things are uncertain, when I'm worried, when I'm unsure about things, and it doesn't take away the circumstance, it doesn't necessarily take away the uncertainty, but what it does change, or the impact it has, is on how I feel about that. It often removes the fear, it just brings so much peace just in knowing his presence in whatever is going on.
Yes, I'm a bit of a worrier myself, and one of the things Jesus said about, you know, don't worry about tomorrow because today has worries enough about itself. And I do think that's something that's a kind of daily thing for me, because I'm quite prone to fretting about tomorrow when I don't need to. And that's something I have to give up.
And my last one was, can you think of any examples where it has helped you, a specific example?
Well, what I've just talked about, that's a kind of daily thing for me. Yeah. Another thing Jesus said when he was talking about, he once said how the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few, and he prayed to the God of the harvest that he would send more workers. And it struck me that that's a thing about prayer. It's not pray, God, please do this for me. It's God, help me to do this. That's what Jesus was saying. And that, is an ongoing thing. I don't think God sometimes wants just to do things for us, but he wants us to lean on him daily and help us through it. And that's what I would say. It's not just a one thing, but it's an ongoing thing.
I do have a specific example. I think when I was particularly aware of his presence with me, and it was when our youngest son was about to be born, and I'd had quite complicated births with our first two sons, and I remember the time came when I thought, oh, he's about to be born, and my prayer was just, Lord, I'm scared. I'm scared that this is going to be complicated again, that it's going to be really difficult. I don't know what's going to happen. And I had such a sense of him saying to me, I know this child, and this child is going to bring me so much joy. He's going to bring lots of people so much joy. And what I felt God was saying to me in that moment was, let my joy be your strength through this. And again, it didn't change the fact that it was uncertain, but it really changed how I felt. And I just, from that moment, knew that he was there with me. And that sense of his joy was very present throughout that time for me. And a really lovely kind of confirmation of that was when James and I arrived at the hospital and we were met by the midwife, who said, hello, Fiona, my name's Joy, and I'm going to be with you through this birth. And that was just a gift. Yeah. Thank you.
As you perhaps know, and I hope you do, we've just had a 24-hour prayer event, first time, I think, done anything like that. It's been done in this church. And it was a partnership between ourselves and a group who are largely attached to the Vineyard Church in St Andrews, but who live in Newport. And I know them through a small prayer group that I'm part of on a Monday evening. And Tricia came up with this thought, and it came to reality this weekend, and it's been absolutely wonderful. And you probably saw the notices about it. Now, what I'm going to say to you is, I urge you to use this prayer room that we have in the church. And I would urge, we hope, I'm going to chat with people afterwards, but I'm hoping we can leave it up at least for Holy Week as it is and as it was used yesterday. And I want you, please, today if possible, or any time during this week, to go into that prayer room and to see what came out of that time of people praying. It is the most lovely space. And when you look at what people felt and expressed that came out of this prayer time, I think you'll be moved. And I want you to please do that. And I would urge you that we use this prayer room that we have. This is a dedicated space for this purpose. We don't need a prayer room to pray, obviously. But we have a prayer room, a dedicated space, a space where you can go in and you don't need to talk about all the other things that are valuable that we need to talk about. You know, did you get the milk today? What happened to the flowers? Have the flowers come? What's happened to Jeannie? You know, is she okay? All these things that we sit and talk about and are valuable and important in themselves, you can just leave them aside, even for a few minutes. Go in there and just open your heart to God and be yourself and don't put that stuff away just for a few minutes even. So I urge you, please, to use our prayer room. Thank you.
Don't let doubt come into your mind. You know the evil one. He will say, oh, you're no good at prayer. You can't pray like them. They've been going for years. I can't pray. Don't know what to pray about. I've never done this. Don't let doubt come into your mind. You're children of God. God gives you the words. And we who have been maybe praying a few times, we need encouragement. We need your help. We need you to come in and just sit with us. You don't know how much we need that. And we would really like to have the help of just you being there to speak. That's what the Heavenly Father would like, is you to come and to speak with him. And there is power in being together. It is one thing to speak to God in your quiet time, in your quiet place. But for church and giving the church power and pushing the church forward, we have to come together. We will go nowhere without prayer. It's like running the business without checking to the boss. And I'm not comparing the church with a business. We have to go to God first to find and be guided and to know the way. Otherwise, we will do nothing. Everything is possible with him. But without him, nothing is possible. So if we want growth, if we want to see people come, we want to have young people, we have to begin with prayer. I have watched this. This is why I'm so passionate about it. Because I have seen it in churches. Whenever the men come together and the women start to pray, then you see the growth. Not maybe immediately, but just wait. I have seen a group of 30 women, Bible study fellowship in Hong Kong, start with 30 women. When I left it, and after 5 years, 300 women and children. But it was the power of prayer that did it. So I'm sorry, I've just felt that I needed to share this with you. But please, please do not let doubt get into your mind. God gave us a helmet of salvation, not a soft hat, a helmet, because your mind needs protected. And it's a helmet of salvation to know to whom you belong, and you don't let anything, any other into it. Allow the Lord in, and don't let the evil one say, oh, you can't pray. What do you think? You don't know the words. Yes, you can.
Thank you, Alison, and thank you all for the testimonies. I read somewhere, or I heard somebody say, prayer moves the hand of God that moves the world. So it is absolutely important for us to make prayer part of our lives, especially as we journey in this faith in Jesus Christ. Let us now worship God as we sing 364. All glory, Lord, and honor.
Jesus,
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-living Father, today we give thanks as we should and as we must, for you are a good God. Your steadfast love lasts forever. We see it in the beauty of this day. We know it in the warmth of welcome in this Christian family here in Newport-on-Tay. We feel it in the blessings of singing your praise and reflecting on your love. We believe it in the message of salvation that Christ is here and now and real. Yet this is the Christ the world will reject. This is the cornerstone that will be torn down so that the building of hope and well-being and righteousness is threatened with destruction. This is the Christ the world will take and crucify and seek to get rid of for good. But this is the very Christ who will rise again, the very Christ through whom we will find your forgiveness and acceptance and a beginning again for us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hear the blessing from this very house of God, from the depths of our being, from the core of our faith. Hear and hear and hear again that we are grateful, that we are made new, that we are thankful, we are loved by our God. Father God Almighty, as we approach the throne of your grace this morning in worship, we come with our secret sorrows and our burdens, and we want to lift them with you so that you can give us rest. We pray too for times, O Father, when we have not lived up to the expectations of your word, and we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, for the things that we've done against fellow people, and the things that we have failed to do. And now, O Father, with the psalmist, we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Lord that his steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks to the Lord as we should and as we must. And we know that you will forgive us and accept us as we are through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing again hymn 345, Halle, Halle, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
morning, children. Do we have any children in church today? Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. No response. How are you today? How are you today?
Good.
Very good. Now, today is a very special day in the life of the Christian church. What do you think? What is special about this Sunday? Yes? You think it's Palm Sunday, do you think, or it is Palm Sunday? Which one? It is Palm Sunday, correct. So what is Palm Sunday?
Yeah. Palm Sunday is the day where Jesus arrived in Jerusalem.
It's the day Jesus went into Jerusalem. I want all of us to clap for the two of them. Those are very brilliant answers. So today is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is the day Jesus went into Jerusalem or entered Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion and death. So what do you know about the story of Palm Sunday apart from the fact that Jesus went into Jerusalem? What happened when he went into Jerusalem? Yes?
People laid down palms for him, and some people liked him, but other people didn't like him so much because they thought they were going to take his throne.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that? Let's put our hands together for him. Now, when Jesus went into Jerusalem, people put palm branches on the ground. Some put their cloaks and many other things for him to walk on. And some people were happy, others were not happy. And they were singing songs, they were rejoicing that the king had come. But the problem is that the kind of king they were expecting, Jesus did not come in that way. They wanted a king who would conquer their physical enemies. But Jesus came in peace, so the people were not happy. But there are other questions. How did Jesus... Hello, Anna. Anna wants to participate. So how did Jesus go into Jerusalem? What did he use? Yes?
He used a donkey.
He used a donkey to go into Jerusalem. Now, what I want us to know or to learn today is some of the things that the people were doing. First, using a donkey, it means that the donkey provided a means of movement because he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. So the donkey was like his own car. We use cars to drive. When we go far distances, we use cars. Sometimes we ride on our bicycles. But Jesus used a donkey. And so the donkey provided a service for our Lord. And then there were other people who were putting palm branches on the streets. They were shouting, they were praising God. They too contributed to the mission of Jesus. And so the question I want to ask you and ask all of us is, how can we contribute to the mission of Jesus Christ? What can we do to continue to promote the work that Jesus started on earth before he went back to heaven? Are there ways you think we can contribute to the church? Any answers? What can we do as Christians? Any ideas? What can we do to contribute to the work of the church or the work of the mission? Yes? Pray? We've just been taught about prayer. So we can pray. We can pray that God's kingdom will be established and will grow. That's a very good answer. I didn't think about that. We can pray. What more can we do? What else can we do? We can talk to people about Jesus, can't we? We can talk to our friends about Jesus. I want to see more people sitting in front of the church and listening to God's word, more children. We can talk to our friends about Jesus. We can participate in Sunday school. We can read our Bibles and develop our own faith. and we come to church every Sunday, not once in a while, but every day, and commit ourselves to doing God's work. And we know that God can use us the way he used his disciples and the people who were shouting and singing for him when he went into Jerusalem. God can use us to do his work. So we must give ourselves to him and contribute in whatever ways we can. There is a song, I don't know whether you know that, but I'm sure we've sung it before. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Can we sing that song? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comest, blessed is he that comest in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, when your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, rode into Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion and death. We thank you for our children, and we thank you for what they are able to learn from Scripture about you and about your church here on earth. Young as they are, O Father, we pray that you will continue to open their hearts to your word and empower them and give them insight so that they live their lives for you and for you alone. Help all of us at this time to open our hearts that Jesus may come into us and live with us. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We will sing again, Ride On, Ride On, in majesty.
Save your meek person. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 63. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozrah, with his garments stained crimson? Who is this, robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. Why are your garments red, like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm worked salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And the New Testament reading is from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, reading verses 1 to 11. Matthew 21, a familiar reading, especially on this Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Amen. And a thanks to God for these readings from his holy word.
Our next team, Lord, the light of your love is shining. 448.
Shine on me, shine.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, today you march into Jerusalem to save us. Guide us through the wisdom of your Spirit, that we might see what you are calling us to see, know what you are calling us to know, and feel what you are calling us to feel, that we may respond to your gospel call of grace with gladsome hearts and minds. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the 10th year that I am celebrating Palm Sunday without palm branches in my hands. In Cameroon, on Palm Sunday, everybody gets a palm branch. We line up the streets as we walk to church, and there is a very huge crowd processing into the churches. Following that is a big service. And in the next year, you go back and keep these palm branches in your house for one full year, so that in the next year, during Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent, the palm branches are brought back to the church, they are burnt, and the ashes are used to sign the foreheads of all the members of the church, signifying that we are dust, and unto dust we shall return. So for 10 years, I've not had that experience. That's how long I've been in this country. But the problem is not only that of not having palm branches, but we are not in Jerusalem, all of us now, waving palm branches or putting our cloaks for Jesus to ride on. We are in Scotland, and specifically in Newport-on-Tay. So what lessons can we draw from Scripture and from an event which happened thousands of years ago? Palm Sunday is a reminder of the joy and triumph of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, as well as the humility and sacrifice that characterized his ministry on earth. And as we celebrate this day, may we be inspired to follow his example of love, of service, and of sacrifice in our own lives. There are four areas in which we can draw lessons for our own faith and our own journey. First, our Lord Jesus Christ could have entered Jerusalem in any manner he wanted or by any means, but he chose to ride on a donkey, fulfilling a prophecy from Zechariah 9, verse 9. In the ancient world, kings would ride on horses to show their power and authority, but Jesus chose to ride on a humble donkey, showing that his kingdom was not of this world. But what is significant for me is that the donkey played a vital role in Jesus' ministry or mission. And the question to all of us is, what role can you and I play for the mission of the Lord and for God's plan of salvation in the world? Well, there are so many things going on in the church and even in our parish. And there are so many things we can contribute to. This morning, Alison and her team have been talking to us about Try Praying. We can be part of that movement. We can also be part of the movement in the community of people who provide help to the less fortunate of society, to the refugees from Ukraine, and other people who need help. So the question is, what help or what role can we play in the mission of God? Now, secondly, the people of Jerusalem expected a political leader who would overthrow the Romans and restore the Jewish kingdom. But Jesus Christ had a different mission in mind. He came to save people from their sins and establish a new kind of kingdom, kingdom that is based on love and service. We too, friends, can fall into the trap of expecting God to act in a certain way, but we must be open to his plans and purposes in our lives. And thirdly, we think of the unwavering faith of the disciples. These disciples of Jesus showed remarkable faith in Jesus by following him into Jerusalem. Even though they knew that he was facing opposition from the religious leaders, they still followed him. And their faith was rewarded when they saw Jesus perform miracles and heard him teach with authority. So we too can show our faith by trusting in God's promises, even when they seem unlikely or even impossible. And our faith can help us to be able to surmount some of the challenges that come with our lives. And finally, Jesus' triumphal entry was a humble one, with the crowd spreading their cloaks and palm branches on the ground as a sign of honor. And Jesus' humility stood in contrast to the pride and arrogance of the religious leaders, who were more concerned with their own status than with serving others. We can learn the importance of humility and service from these people, putting the needs of others before our own needs. We are told in the New Testament text that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, he stirred the crowds, and they asked, "Who is this?" Today, dear friends, Jesus is entering the most troubled place in the world. It is a place of struggle, of conflict and confrontation. It has a history of killing the prophets, fighting wars and living in violence. Jesus is entering a place of turmoil. But the most troubled place in the world is not, however, a geographic location. The human heart is the most troubled place in the world. Look at the history of our world. Look at present-day Jerusalem, the wars, fighting and protests throughout the Middle East, and even in Europe at our doorsteps in Ukraine. But think also of the British political and economic system, and you will see the symptoms of the turmoil that fills the heart of humanity and what it produces, revealed in our world events and in the experience of our own personal lives. It's in the fear and uncertainty of our future, the loss of financial security, a broken marriage, estrangement between parents and children, the disease that interrupts our lifespans and even our plans. Each of us could name and describe our own personal turmoil. But the turmoil Jesus brings to the world challenges our beliefs and faith, and it confronts the way we have always done things and makes us question where we are going. But most especially, on this day, Jesus Christ wants to ride into our hearts, to bring peace to our troubled souls, and to assure us that even in the deepest darkness of our lives, he is there with us. So let's learn from the story of his first triumphal entry how we should receive him. Let's receive him as one whose coming was promised by God and prepared far in advance for our salvation. Let us recognize that he comes meek and mild and lowly, not as our judge now, but as our Savior, and as one who takes our sins upon himself at the cross, so that we need not experience the fear of judgment when he comes again. Let's celebrate him as the promised King, whose coming is the answer to the cry, "Save now, O Lord." And above all, let's be sure that we place our trust fully in that which he came into Jerusalem to accomplish for us long ago. Let's be sure that we have deliberately and personally placed our faith on his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Because if we fully embrace Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, then we will be able to stand at his glorious triumphal entry yet to come. Who is this? He is the King of glory. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you because you have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. Open our hearts, O Father, that we may receive Jesus, and may he find a place in our lives to change, to transform us, and to help us to transform our world into a better place for others to live in. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for others. Gracious and ever-living Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have given us so much. And the money we bring to you is only a portion of all that you've blessed us with. Take it and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Living God, in the image of Christ's entry into Jerusalem, when the Passover was coming, we see all the people around him, just as we have countless numbers who crowd into our thoughts as we turn to you in prayer. So as Christ placed himself in the midst of the crowd, let us be aware of the centrality of that same Christ to the people for whom we pray, that they and we might know they are close to our Lord and that he is always with them. We pray with the excitement of the children for all who celebrate today the newness of a birth, the fresh start of a marriage, good news about their health, the success of a task, a new way love has been expressed and felt. Let our voices join with theirs as we shout, Hosanna, Christ is here. We pray with loyal disciples for those who know their commitment, who prepare for Jesus' presence, who give their cloaks for his service, who make the way clear so that others can follow the procession. Let our voices join with theirs as we shout, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We pray with the people in the crowd, for those who watch and wait, for the not so sure people, for the silent majority, for those who have little to celebrate, for the many who don't see the point. Let our voices not drown out their silent prayers, but in being aware of their needs, let our prayers carry their yearnings to our Lord. We pray with those who know nothing of this, who live with anger and not expectation, with pain and not hosannas, with skepticism and not acceptance. Let our voices not condemn them, but pray for them and with them. For the unknown, yet needful people, we pray, as we look beyond the crowd and see them and their needs. And Father, we continue to pray too for our world, and we think again of the people of the Ukraine and other parts of the world where there is war. Father, bring peace through the Prince of Peace. We pray for those who lead us, that they will rule with justice and peace. And we thank you for the new leadership here in Scotland, praying especially for the new First Minister, Humza Yousaf, that you will bless and guide him, give him wisdom to provide leadership to the Parliament in this country. And now we bring before you our own individual needs as we do so in the silence of our hearts. God, our Heavenly Father, look down upon us with compassion and grace. Heal those who are sick. Bring peace to the troubled in heart. And those who are depressed or full of anxiety for one reason or the other. And continue, O Father, to assure us that you are with us always, till the end of the age. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Crown him with many crowns. Our last hymn, 459, as we bring our service to its close. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.